You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Join us as we remember a member of our church family.
Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to this service for Rose West. I am Pastor Dan Cox, and on behalf of Rose's family, I want to thank all of you for coming today. We are here to honor Rose's life. We're here to reflect on her and how much she meant to us, but we're also here to receive comfort in our grief. And I know that our hearts are heavy with grief today and that this has been such a painful time for us. But I pray that this service will help to bring some measure of comfort and peace to all of you. Let's pray. O Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And I pray that this service will honor Rose's memory and that it will bring comfort to all of us here. We humbly ask you now to look down upon our grieving hearts and to be gracious to us. Help us, Lord, to cast every care upon you and through your mercy and grace find comfort and peace. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. Before we listen to that, I want you to know that this was the night before Jesus would give his life on the cross for us. And he was gathered in the upper room with his disciples, and they were celebrating the Jewish Passover meal. Now, there had been many occasions in which Jesus had told his disciples that he would be rejected by the religious rulers and authorities, that they would crucify him, that he would die and be buried, but that he would rise, again on the third day. But that really hadn't sunk into the hearts and the minds of his disciples because they were focused on earthly glory and power. They thought with Jesus as the Messiah coming that they would soon share in great riches and power with him. You see, they'd not really understood the mission of Christ at his first coming up to that point. But now, the reality of what Jesus had been telling them all along was beginning to sink in, and their hearts were troubled. And so Jesus said to them, and he says to us as well, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus told him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. But from now on, you do know him and have seen him." These are comforting words to his disciples. They're comforting words for us as well, that he has gone to prepare a place for us, to prepare a place for Rose, for all who trust in him. So we might ask then today, well, who was Rose? What kind of a person was she? What were her passions and her interests? Now, in just a few minutes, I will give anyone who would like to speak an opportunity to do so. But first, some thoughts on that. Now, I did not know her personally, but in speaking with her family, I learned quite a few things about her. I know that she loved her family. She loved her family deeply, her four children. That she had a bubbly personality, that she was the kind of person who liked to help others, who liked to help meet their needs. And she was called a mama bear. She was a mama bear who liked to take care of others. And I wonder if she's a mama bear, perhaps we could say also, was she a mama oso? Would that fit as well? And she was smart. She read a lot. And she had a great hunger to learn. And she would spend a lot of time in the library. Now, how many of you remember what those things called libraries? Does anybody remember what a library was? Yeah. See, now we have this thing we call, what, the interwebs or something like that, the internet. We Google everything, right? Well, before you Googled everything, what did you do? You went to the library and you looked up there. Remember those ancient card catalogs and that? Yeah. Well, she spent a lot of time in libraries and learning because of that hunger to know. And she loved to read then, intelligent and stimulating books. I'm told, too, that she was a great cook and a phenomenal baker, that she loved to bake. She loved to make her kids' birthday cakes. And as for her cooking skills, I think there's a little bit of debate about this. I'm not sure. But I am told that her beef Wellington was even better than Crystal's. Now, Crystal disputed that one a little bit, but that's what I've heard, that it was even better than Crystal's. In fact, she had even talked of perhaps going to culinary school one day, of becoming a chef and traveling to Italy. She was great at crafts and designing things. And she also liked to live a simple life. And she wasn't a person who needed a lot. Called she was funny as well. That she could be a little quirky. In fact, she was one of those people that could just make anything funny. But sometimes the thing that was funny was Rose herself and what Rose did or failed to think about before she tried something. I was told a story about one time that shows she may have occasionally been a little logistically and directionally challenged about something. I heard that there was a time when she had decided that she was going to go hiking, that she was going to hike an old trail near Nauvoo, Illinois. And she had researched this for months. That was in her nature, was to research things and figure this all out. So she had it all figured out, and she went and she got all of her supplies, and then she loaded them all into a big, heavy backpack. And problem, though, was that the backpack then was so big and so heavy that she could hardly carry it. And so when she put it on, she fell down with it, and then she was like a turtle on its back trying to get back up. Reminded me of a scene from a movie with Reese Witherspoon where exactly that thing happens, where she was going to go hiking this big trail with the backpack and she fell and couldn't get up then. Well, so there was a little logistical challenge there. It seems, too, she may have been a little directionally challenged, because we see when the time came to set off on this great adventure on this trail, she couldn't get a map. The place where you got the trail maps was closed, so you guess she had to kind of figure it out. But that wasn't going to stop her, that sense of adventure there. And so she set off anyway. Well, meanwhile, some of her family members and friends who were there with her, they had left her. She let her go off, and then they went somewhere else for a little while to check on something. And then they came back then to see Rose and how things were going along. But when they got back, they discovered that Rose had gone off in the wrong direction of the trail. And I can tell you that was not a very good beginning then to that great adventure. But you know, we may laugh at this image, though, of her trying to get back up from that big, heavy backpack. The fact is, sometimes we can feel that way in life, though, too, with life's questions and trials and tribulations, that sometimes they can feel like that great, heavy load that overcomes us. And we fall down, and we may feel like we just can't get back up. And I know that Rose struggled then with questions and with troubles and some of the pain of life. I have too. And I know that many of us here have as well. But in just a few minutes, though, I want to speak of the hope that we can have in ultimately overcoming those painful trials and pains and questions in life. And in that, we will see that Rose, even though she may not have felt it at the time, that she did have hope, that she had hope in Christ, and that he will complete the work of rescue that he began in her life. But before we go to that passage there, I'd like to offer anyone who'd like to speak an opportunity to do so. Is there someone here who would like to speak? What would you like to tell us about Rose or share with us today? If you want to speak, I do have a microphone here too so that everyone can hear us. If you want to just come up, I can give you the microphone. Is there someone who'd like to speak for a moment?
First, I'd like to thank everyone for coming. The church family for helping us out with everything today and being our support for the last 4 months. I'm going to tell you a story. When we lived out east, we were riding our bikes, and I was about 5 years old, and we had taken my little brother out with us and a couple of our cousins, and we were checking along, and I remember thinking, come on, Vito, we got to keep going. We got to stay up with the older cousins, you know? And all of a sudden, we came up to this hill. Well, we were in the mountains. It wasn't a hill. It was a mountain. And Rose was telling us that we had to ride our bikes down the hill. And I was terrified. We argued. I did not want to go down. And we argued. And finally, the other cousins went down. My brother went down. And Rose and I started going down. And the whole time we were going down, she kept telling me, don't look down, don't look down. Keep your head up, keep your head up. And at the end of the hill, I kept seeing my brother and the rest of the cousins down there. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling bumpiness. And then I fell, and I was in the grass. And she started arguing with me, telling me to get up and to get back on the bike. And I told her I couldn't. And she kept arguing with me. We walked together all the way down the rest of that hill. Even though she was upset with me because I gave up, she stayed with me. And we made it down to the end of the hill. And she said, I won't push you to do it again, but you have to keep trying. I tell the story to other people a little differently. Rose is my second mom growing up. We did lose contact. And when I finally came back home, I was walking in the bathroom and I seen her. She was a big white bed, just her face sticking out underneath the covers. And I went to the bathroom and came back out and she was still in the same position. And I crawled in the bed with her and I said, what's going on? She goes, Josie, I got something to tell you. And I said, what? She said, I'm pregnant. And I was so happy. She goes, I'm scared. And I said, why? You'll be great. She goes, well, what if I turn into mom? And that was one of our biggest things. We were all like, what if we turn into ma? We all turned into my mother. Rose had a big heart. She loved everybody. She's here with us today. She's been here constantly through everything with us. She's guided us the right way. I'm really going to miss her, and I thank everyone again for helping support us through the last 4 months and today. Thank you.
Thank you. I know that's hard to get up, and it's hard just to get up and speak in front of people, but then to do that in a situation like that, that's especially difficult. So thank you. I want to read a scripture passage from the book of Romans, chapter 8. Before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about hope. That hope is something that this world desperately needs. And I know that I need hope. That we all need hope. I also know that this world, with its troubles, its pain, its difficulty, its questions can sometimes become overwhelming to us. And in the scriptures, this reality of how life in this world can be is presented powerfully and honestly. It talks about the great suffering that we can experience in this world. But it also speaks, though, about hope, that we can have hope. And this scripture passage in Romans chapter 8 talks about this hope that we can have in Christ. And it is a hope to know that Rose herself had, even though she felt overwhelmed by life's pain, there is hope. The Apostle Paul says this in Romans 8. He says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. And we were given this hope when we were saved. But if we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son, so that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. So what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own Son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from God's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So what have we seen here? That we're told that what we suffer now, and we all suffer to one degree or another, don't we? But what we suffer now, this is as nothing compared to the glory that is to come, compared to what God is going to be revealing to us later when His purposes and plan is complete. And that's something that it takes faith for us to see that, to believe that. Because when we look around at this world, we can feel overwhelmed with the pain and the troubles. But the Scriptures declare emphatically that God is going somewhere with it, that He has a good purpose and a plan, that He has a plan of redemption, of saving people, saving us from ourselves and from the trouble of this life, and giving us hope and new life. And that one day He's going to make even the world itself new. Scripture says that creation, that this world was subjected to a curse because of our sin. That is, that all of us have turned away from God, have followed our own paths, have rebelled. This moral rebellion has created devastating consequences in our world. But God didn't abandon the creation. Instead, He sent a Savior, a Redeemer, the Son, Jesus, to make all things new, to make it beautiful and glorious again. And so now, all the creation itself, then, is waiting eagerly for this hope, this fulfillment of God's purpose. You know, I've been using that word hope a lot. But I want you to know that when the Bible uses the word hope, it means it has a little different meaning than the way we usually use that word hope. Because for us, when we say hope, we hope for something or we have hope, it means what? That there's something that we would like to see happen, but we don't know for sure that it may happen. We hope things turn out the way we want, but we don't know for sure. But when the Bible talks about hope, it doesn't mean that uncertainty. In the Scriptures, when it talks about hope, it's a certainty. It's a promise of God that absolutely will be fulfilled. So a hope, then, isn't something that may or may not happen. It's something that absolutely will happen. And so our hope is that God's ultimate good purposes will be revealed. And that those then who trust in Him, whose hope is in Christ, share in that confident expectation. That's our hope. And so one day then, the hope of the creation is that one day it too will be set free from death and decay. And that even now then, the creation itself, it groans as in the pains of childbirth. I want you to know that I have never given birth. Does that surprise anyone? I have never given birth. But you know what? I have it on pretty good authority that giving birth can be a painful experience. Is that true? I've heard that. But with that pain also then comes what? The blessing and the joy of a new life. And so this world itself, with all of its pain and suffering, is pictured in that same way, that it is in the pains of childbirth, but it is going to give way to the joy of new life and a new world. That's what God promises. So the pain of this world will give way to the joy of a new world, forever free from sin and death, corruption and decay. Scriptures say then that even we believers, those who are trusting in God, trusting in Christ, that even we groan along with the creation, even we who have hope are not exempt from pain, sometimes crushing pain. Even we groan along with the creation, even though we have this hope, even though we have God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who lives within us, even though we have Him, we still suffer and groan. But you know, the very presence of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, is God's promise, His guarantee to us that He is going to bring all of His plans to pass. Not one thing will fail that God has said. We're told as believers then who have this hope, we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. You know, we can't even imagine what's like. Can you imagine what a world without sin and suffering would be like? Can you imagine a body which is made to live in such a world that will never be subject to sickness, to pain, to suffering, to disease, decay, death? We can't even imagine that. But that's what God promises for those who trust in Him. One day soon, when Jesus returns, those who trust in Him will be given new bodies, that is, glorious resurrection bodies, suitable for life forever in that new world. But until then, what must we do? We must wait with eager hope. Hold on to this hope, this sure promise from God. It's not always easy to hold on, though, is it? It's not always easy to hold on to that hope. We need one another to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to stand alongside one another. We need to stand firm in the truth that God has revealed to us in His Word, the Bible. We also need the help of the Holy Spirit who strengthens us in our weakness. In fact, sometimes we don't even know how to pray. Have you ever felt that way where sometimes you say, I don't even know what to pray right now, God? But the Scriptures tell us that even then, that the Spirit Himself, that He prays for us, that He prays with groanings too deep for words, and He prays that God's will, that God's ultimate purposes then be accomplished in our lives. And He promises too then to work through even the worst things in our lives for His ultimate good purposes. And that takes faith to believe that. But it's true. Scriptures tell us that even before God made anything, He knew those who would trust Him. And He determined to bring them to maturity in Christ and to make all things new. And what can we say then about such wonderful things as this? If God is for us, who can be against us? What's the answer? No one. If God the Father did not even spare His own Son, Jesus, surely He will give us all good things in Jesus. Surely He will complete the great work of redemption that He has begun. So Paul asks, can anyone condemn us? No. No one can condemn Rose. Yay, that's right. Christ died for Rose and was raised for Rose. And He will complete the good work He began in her. That's right. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? No. Scripture says, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, you know, the Scripture doesn't deny the reality of those things. But what it says is what? In spite of them, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. So final overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. And final victory is Rose's through Christ. And Scripture says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, Rose has been temporarily separated from us. But she was never separated and is not now separated from God's love. And not even her death could separate her from God's love. I know she went through a lot. I know she struggled. I know she had pain. I know she had questions. But I know, though, too, that in her heart of hearts, she had trusted in Christ. And nothing then can separate her then from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So nothing has separated her from God's love. But even though we are temporarily separated from her, one day, too, this temporary separation of us from her, that will be bridged as well. And that all who trust in Christ have this great hope. So we will see her again, and we will rejoice alongside her on God's new earth. But until then, we must wait. We must wait with hope. We must wait with eager hope. I want to conclude by sharing three quick promises in Scripture which have always brought great peace and comfort to me whenever I'm grieving or feeling anxious. First one is that hope of eternal life in John 11, verses 25 and 26, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Second is in 1 Peter chapter 5, where there, Peter, you see, he was a fisherman before Jesus called him to be one of his disciples. And in his fishing days, he would take his boat out on the Sea of Galilee, and he would take the nets there, and he would cast them, throw them out into the sea and gather up the fish to bring them in. And I have to think it's now many years later and he's writing to a church that is suffering, that's grieving, that's anxious. And I have to think he's thinking back of those old fishing days when he says to them, cast, throw all of your anxiety on him, on God, because he cares for you. That we're invited to take that pain, that sorrow, that grief, that anxiety, and cast it or throw it onto God because he cares. And the last one is in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, where the prophet there says this of the Lord. He says, you, Lord, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. We are never promised in Scripture that we will be exempt from pain or sorrow or questions or doubt or grieving. We're certainly not exempt from physical death. But those who trust in him, whose thoughts are firmly fixed on him, will know God's peace. And so it is my hope and my prayer that you will find peace and comfort today, that you will find peace and comfort in your memories of Rose. May you find peace and comfort as well in the love of family and friends. May you find peace and comfort knowing that Rose had the hope of eternal life in Christ. And may you find comfort then too in the almighty arms of God. Let's pray. Eternal God, you are the consolation and the support of all who trust in you. I pray, Lord, that you would grant your strength to our grieving hearts. And I ask that your powerful Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would give us peace. I ask that you would give Rose's family the peace that surpasses human understanding. We thank you for her life. May we all be comforted by our memories of her, by the love of family and friends, and by the hope of eternal life which is found in Jesus Christ. I pray that you will be gracious to us today and all the days of our lives. And I ask all of these things in the name of our Savior. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.